Libby Gore on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Joining you on the radio is James Kirby, wealth editor at The Australian. James, how are you?
Good, thank you, Libby. How are you?
Very good, thank you. We were thinking you were the perfect person to talk to us about this. What are the options if you've actually got some money? How can you grow it?
And, you know, it's unfortunate, really, in many ways, that one of the consequences we have, one of the things people have probably noticed this week in particular, because believe it or not, they're talking about cutting rates again. And you say, how can they, since they're virtually almost at zero, 0.25, but they're actually most likely going to cut them again at Melbourne Cup Day. And what's happening, if you actually have cash, and it doesn't matter the amount, let's say you have $1,000, $10,000, it doesn't really matter. It's actually because of the crisis and because the central banks of the world, if you like, have orchestrated that how we're going to recover, and all bets on the recovery are on one direction, that we keep rates extremely low. And so once upon a time, like say even in the GFC when we had the last really tough patch everybody faced with keeping money or investing money or doing anything with money, you still get 4 or 5% in the bank. When you put your money in the bank, you got 4 or 5%. You didn't have to think about it and it was safe. I mean, absolutely safe, government guaranteed. Now, this week, something actually happened, which was kind of inevitable, but still sort of historic, really, for our market, in that our interest rates have fallen virtually to zero. And one of the banks, and it won't be the last one, one of the smaller banks, actually wrote to customers who had, if they had more than a certain amount in the bank, more than $150,000 in the bank, and they wrote to them and said, we can't pay you any interest, nothing. So that's the first time that's ever happened here.
And yet they could still take out fees, right?
Absolutely, yes. So actually, anyone in that position at that bank, and as I say, there will be more, will be paying fees for banks to basically hold the money for you, but they will not give you interest. And we're very close to that position already. If you look at the, really, if it's 0.1 or 0.11% or whatever from the different banks, we're very close to that. So we've never actually faced this situation before. It's been the situation in Europe for a number of years, and I think people thought it would never happen here, but then things happen that we have no idea coming down the track, and this crisis has actually just pushed interest rates down to these extremely low levels. Now, it's good if you're borrowing, if you're buying your first house, you're in a sweet position. But for people who are looking around, the main point is that you're going to have to take some risk. The idea of risk-free reward, if you like, that you used to have, is gone. And that's very tough. It's particularly tough for people who are saving for an objective of some description. And, of course, it's toughest of all for older people who are trying to live off savings in some fashion.
Yes, indeed. I mean, self-funded retirees must be doing it incredibly tough.
Well, they are, because the pension, if you like, it hasn't changed. But if you're a self-funded retiree and trying to live off how you invest, it's become very, very difficult. And we have this strange, the other big point this year in terms of how things have actually emerging. So the huge one, obviously, is that the interest rates are at zero, basically. Mm-hmm. And what that means, and it means all sorts of things, but if you're trying to invest or do something with saved money, you're going to have to take some risk. And how you do that, then there's the markets kind of changing shape as well. But sort of one point that comes up all the time with me, Libby, in terms of the question probably asked more often than anything else, is people say, we just want to save for a short time. And we're trying to buy a house or trying to buy a car or whatever objective. What can we invest in, you know, for a short period, for a few months, that would be safe, that would work? And the truth is, there is nothing that you can invest in that is safe for a short period. If you invest, you take a risk. So, I mean, I think, you know, we kind of start with that and say, look, if you have saved for a house and you've managed to get whatever, let's say you've managed to save $50,000 and you're trying to get to 60, don't risk that 50, because it's much, the risk you're taking is much too big. Accept the fact that you get nothing for your money. Just accept it, because it's actually still safe and still government guaranteed. At least we have that government guarantee in the banks.
If you would like to join this conversation, why don't I just give you a heads up? 1-300-222-774 is the number. James Kirby is the wealth editor at The Australian, and he's happy to talk these things through with you and answer any questions you might have. James, the risk is investing in the markets. How does all this tie in with all the government incentives, for instance? Is perhaps one of the cleverer things to do, are we being encouraged to buy property and renovate it, say, to create jobs, and therefore if it's in your own owner-occupied house, it doesn't attract tax repercussions when you sell? Is this the way it all kind of connects, the dots connect?
Yeah, well, absolutely. The government definitely wanted to help more than anything else. I think they wanted to help, first of all, get the economy working, people working and building trades working. And so there was already quite a few grants for houses. Actually, there's three different overlapping grants if you want to buy a first house. A lot of incentive in there. And of course, there's home builder, where you don't have to be a first buyer. You can, anyone can get that grant, $25,000, to build or renovate. And then behind that, Libby, the fact that we were just saying about the shape of things at the moment, and the overarching theme of all investment markets is the fact that interest rates are at zero. And so if they're cutting rates, it does also help that picture. And so oddly, property as an investment, unfortunately, of course, you can't do property in a small way. You can't invest in property for 6 months and step back out again. That's the tough part. But for people who are investing in property or buying a house, or even thinking about their own home and saying, can we improve the value of it? I think the stars are aligned to a strong degree, because you've got all these grants, you've got loans becoming cheaper effectively.
Money's cheap, always, as they say.
Money's cheap, and that underpins house prices. And the other thing is, and it's very early days, but we would have expected, speaking to you now, at this time in October this year, 6 months after a serious crash on the markets, we would have expected the house prices to have fallen a lot more than they have. And on a monthly basis, in some of the cities around the country, not in Melbourne, but in other cities, on a monthly basis, house prices are actually going up.
And they're really?
Also going up. They're also going up in the UK. They're also going up in the US. And it's kind of counterintuitive. But if you think it through, perhaps people are saying, I need to defend. This is a very difficult, scary time, financially and in many other ways. And people are taking a defensive approach. And the ultimate defense for a lot of people is bricks and mortar.
Especially if they're living in it.
Especially if they're living in it, because then they have the prospect that they don't have to pay a capital gains tax on their home. And so you'll see a lot of little developments constantly that sort of help to convince people that it makes sense to do some work on the house or even to build new houses. Even in the budget, there was because of the tax cuts, there was very little in the way of individual programs, because the tax cuts and JobKeeper, etc., soaked up so much of the money that was in the budget. But even in there was the granny flat clause came up in the budget, and there was always some question mark about whether, if you had a granny flat and you built one in the back of the house, was that in addition to the property? Was it included in the home? Was it actually capital gains tax free, like your house is? There was always a grey area around that. And they clarified that in the budget, and they said granny flats are fine. There won't be any CGT on them in any circumstance.
And indeed, and so, granny flat could also operate as a home office, couldn't it, when these changed living?
It could. In fact, again, this is another thing that explains the home. The working at home is a huge investment theme, and I think as the months go by, it's going to become obvious. Like, even if you look at how the stock market's faring, and which companies are really doing well and which companies are sort of falling behind, a lot of that is reflected in this business of us being at home, of ordering from home, working from home. And then it also plays into the idea, at least, that property prices will hold up much better than we might have thought previously, because people are saying, hey, if I'm going to work at home for 2 years, or if someone says both partners perhaps in a family are going to work at home, they're going to say, well, it really is worth putting some money into the house.
James, thank you for this morning. It's been great talking to you after all this time.
Thank you, Libby.